17, Thursday meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules is hereby called to order. We are.
What did you say? Canceled?
On the agenda today, we have a work session for the purpose of considering measure drafting requests and work sessions on two measures. Jim, would you? I'm going to open a work session on measure introductions. Can you tell us what we have today?
We have one LC 3543 related to human services. It's for introduction by Senator Winters. The committee previously approved this concept for drafting last month.
Can I have a motion? Senator Clarno.
Oh, yes. Madam Chair, I move we accept the legislative concepts for drafting by Legislative Council.
Senator Clarno has moved that the measure prepared by Legislative Council be introduced per Senator Winter's request. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing none, the request is approved. We'll close the work session on measure drafting and introduction requests and open a work session on Senate Bill 457. Jim, what do we have?
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 457 increases the number of signatures required on a petition to request a municipal audit from 10 to 30 for cities with a population of more than 150. You have dash 1 and dash 2 amendments from Senator Devlin. The dash 1 deletes the Secretary of State discretion from the original bill, discretion in determining whether or not an audit should be conducted. And the dash 2 adds an emergency clause making Senate Bill 457 effective upon passage.
Thank you, and fellow committee members, we are making history. This is the first time we have considered two amendments to one bill since this 2003 Senate Rules Committee has been meeting. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. How long would you like my explanation to be?
I think the briefer, the more likely votes you're going to get.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members of the committee. This bill is actually a relatively simple bill, and actually, if we were still doing consent...
Ooh. You have to identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Richard Devlin, Senate District 19. Thank you, Madam Chair. This particular bill is a relatively simple bill. Under normal circumstances, I would say if we were still doing a consent agenda item, this could be a consent agenda item. Senator or Representative Miller and I have worked on this bill on behalf of one of the municipalities that's in our particular district. Mayor of that particular municipality was here to explain his situation at the hearing that this bill had. That city has faced enormous amounts of litigation from particularly one party, and we started to look at ways that we could help them in terms of what their particular situation was. They have a general fund of actually less than $30,000. Under state law, they are required to file financial statements with the Secretary of State. Until they get to a certain level, which is approximately about $150,000, they're not required to have annual audits. This party has found a portion of the statute that requires a mere 10 signatures to require them to do an annual audit, which they're doing right now, which we anticipate will cost them about $3,000. What we are simply doing is reexamining the original intent of this statute. There are only a small number of jurisdictions, city special districts, that would qualify under this statute. And we decided to set upon a formula simply that was based as simply as we could make it, is that if you are 150 or under, it's still 10 signatures. If you are 151 and over, it is 30 signatures. Actually, you don't really find very many cities above 300 that would meet the other requirements in the law and would normally be subject to an annual audit based upon their general fund or based upon their actual expenditures. What the amendments basically do, if you were to look at the amendments, and I think that the good committee administrator has demonstrated this, it takes away the discretion from the Secretary of State, which is actually, it takes it back to the original form of the law, and that's because with discussions with the Secretary of State's office, they did not want to have discretion. They simply wanted to have a certain number of signatures to require the audit or not require the audit. And it also sets an emergency clause for the bill in the dash twos, which in effect, the current audit will go on, but without the emergency clause, this bill would normally become effective January 1st of next year, and they could be called to do another audit on their $28,000 and 3 to 4 monthly checks that they actually write. So, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, I hope you pass the amendments as Representative Miller does. And hope that you have a positive outlook on this bill.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Any questions for Senator Devlin? Senator Beyer?
Let you do one more turn.
Oh? You okay?
Feel fine.
Okay.
Thanks for asking.
You were looking at the statute, so we thought maybe you might have an intelligent question.
I'm just trying to figure out what the next one does.
Okay. All right. Seeing that there's no questions, we thank you for your testimony. You might wish to hang around as we go into work session, Senator Devlin. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 457 and open a work session on Senate Bill 457.
Madam Chair.
Senator Clarno.
We need a dash one and. Can I do one in both in one motion?
Sure.
Dash one and dash two amendments to Senate Bill 457.
Senator Clarno has moved the dash one and dash two amendments to Senate Bill 457. Is there any discussion about the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, the amendments are adopted. Senator Clarno.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 457 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Senator Clarno has moved Senate Bill 457 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing none, the motion is passed. Senator Devlin, would you like to carry this bill?
Yes.
Thank you. Senator Devlin will be the carrier, and with that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 457. And stay at ease for a few minutes while we search for Senator Schrader.
Madam Chair, this is
thank you.
Staff.
Sorry, Jim.
You have an SMS that describes what the bill does. The first two paragraphs, under the amendments, the first two paragraphs will still be accurate. The bill started out as a companion to SJR 3. The amendments remove any reference to SJR 3, including reference to civil penalties that would be imposed for violations of provisions of SJR 3. The Dash 1 amendment does many other things. What I attempted to do is to put it together in a hand and gross version, which you have a copy of, in addition to the amendments themselves, the Dash 1 amendments.
Your timing is exquisite, Senator Schrader. I just opened a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 379, invited Mr. Rettlinger to come up and walk us through the amendments. Unless you have another process that you would prefer.
No, Madam Chair, members of the committee, that's an excellent idea. The original goal of this bill was just to tighten up Oregon law with independent expenditures, and having gotten feedback from the public hearing from different people, we drafted some amendments to correct some of the vagary of the terms, limit the extra reporting to initiative type of committees, and replace the reporting periods to make it a little more clear.
I'm sorry, Senator Schrader, you need to identify.
Senator Schrader, Senate District 20, I apologize, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Ted, do you want to go ahead?
Sure. Madam Chair, members, Ted Reutlinger, Legislative Council. The amendments are complicated. I'll try to keep it as simple and short as possible. The first thing that they do is delete in Section 2 a requirement that certain people report contributions of over $1,000 PAC committees within 90 days of an election, and that those be reported electronically within 24 hours. These amendments delete that requirement. So the only new reporting requirement in Section 2 is the existing language there about independent expenditures.
What language? Existing language regarding independent expenditures.
In Section 2, Subsection 2, that language stays there. Then we delete Sections 3 and 4, which tied this bill to Senate Joint Resolution 3, which also is on campaign finance. You don't need to do that if SJR 3 is not going to be passed. The rest of the stuff in this bill can stand independently of any constitutional amendment. So those provisions drop out. The more complicated stuff starts with the new Section 3, which amends 26118. What that does is change the contribution and expenditure reporting system for chief petitioners of state initiative petitions. Under the current system, they have to file a report 15 days after the deadline for filing a petition, which usually is somewhere in the middle of July. If their petition does not qualify for the ballot, and if they have a balance or a deficit, in other words, if they still have some money or they owe money, they have to keep filing a statement every year on September 10th. What this does is change that to say that every chief petitioner, no matter if they qualify or not, has to file an annual statement on September 10th. What happens now is if the measure qualifies, it becomes a quote-unquote measure, which means that you have to form a political committee under the election laws, and then you start reporting in September. So the effect of this ultimately is that if you're a petitioner and your measure qualifies, you're going to have to file one additional statement on September 10th, and then you'll kick into the normal system. And under the normal system, the first statement is due in late September. So there will be two September reports for certain chief petitioners under these amendments. Then we amend 260.073, which is the existing reporting statute. All that amendment does is accommodate the new report, the new September report that I just talked about. It requires that the beginning balance for the later September report be the ending balance of the September report. And it just accommodates that additional report. The other thing that the amendment does in 260.073 is it requires three new supplemental reports right before the general election for political committees that were organized by chief petitioners of initiative petitions. So if you are a chief petitioner and you're still active and you form a PAC and you're doing things before the general election, you are also going to have to file these three additional supplemental reports between the 15th day and the date of the general election. The actual dates are specified in the bill. They're due on, I think, the fifth day before the election, the seventh day, and the tenth day. So those are three new reports as well.
Madam Chair. Senator Burdick.
Now, what's the problem that's being addressed here?
Good question. The reason for, if I may, Madam Chair, Senator Burdick, we had originally had a 24-hour, and the original bill was like a 24-hour turnaround. If there was independent expenditure under our original bill, you had to report that in 24 hours. Why? Who cares? Well, the issue is we're trying to address independent expenditures as they may relate inadvertently to express advocacy for a particular candidate. We want to keep the initiative process and the measure process pure as long as they're doing regular measures and it has to deal with the body of the measure or some position on that measure, that's fine. What we're concerned about, as many of you may remember, 94 or 96 campaigns, when independent expenditures were a mainstay of some of the campaigns, you started to see these measures start to filter over into having express advocacy for Kurt Schrader. You know, they have a little picture of Kurt Schrader on this. He supports clear cutting, or he doesn't support clear cutting. And our goal here was to make it less onerous, i.e. they don't have to report it in 24 hours, but just have certain set guidelines. We've worked with some of the bigger lobby groups in the building, and they seem to think that this was an adequate way to do it. They'd rather report more often on a set basis where they knew the days as opposed to have the more onerous 24-hour turnaround time. And that allows basically candidates who are opposition candidates say, whoa, wait a minute, you know, it looks like Kurt Schrader's getting some assistance from this other committee that's inappropriate. And so it's just to bring the level of attention higher, allow people to respond in their own campaigns to independent expenditures by having more adequate disclosure.
Madam Chair.
Senator Burdick.
Does this also pertain to independent expenditures made on behalf of the candidate? For example, a special interest group makes an independent expenditure for a candidate?
That is correct. That's the, Madam Chair, Senator Burke, that's the intent here. And we expressly don't deal. We took out wording, I believe, that dealt with PACs so that they're not included in this. They have other purposes. It's just the initiative.
And, Madam Chair, Senator Burke. And the bill leaves alone, under current law, if someone is working with the campaign and they make an expenditure, then that has to go through the candidate's PAC. That's not a legal independent expenditure. Is that correct?
Yes. The goal here, we're not limiting what people can do. We're just disclosing what goes on. You can't limit independent expenditures. We're not trying to limit them. What we're trying to do is make sure disclosure is in a timely manner so the candidates can react should some of this be express advocacy and give them a chance to refute or agree with or address those issues that are raised.
Thank you.
One last amendment that's of significance is Section 5, Amendment 260.044. That's the statute now that requires folks who make independent expenditures to report those expenditures. All that I did here, and I did this independent of Senator Schrader's direction, so if it's flawed, I'll take credit for that. All this does is make sure that this definition of independent expenditure in the statute applies to 260.044. This is an old statute. It simply refers to expenditures made. It's been interpreted by the courts to apply to independent expenditures. I was thinking that since we already have a definition of independent expenditure in the statute, that we should make that clear that this statute does, in fact, apply to independent expenditure. And that's all it does. What it says is if you make an independent expenditure of over $50, you have to report on the normal schedule that everybody else does. You don't have to report if you spend money and a candidate or a PAC reports that. It's only if it's truly independent and nobody else is going to report it, then you have to report it under 260.044. And that's basically the way the law works now. It's just trying to make the definitions match up. Finally, the bill takes out some other sections that you don't need because of earlier deletions we made, and that's basically it.
Sarah Atkinson.
Thank you. Could either of you take me through the month of October in a campaign? How would this work? General campaign, general election. It's October.
I can't.
We have the most expensive election day in America. It's Groundhog Day. Every day is election day for 22 days or whatever. So how does this work?
Madam Chair, Senator Atkinson, under the bill that's drafted now, in October, the provisions of 260.073 would apply. And the only real change in existing law from the schedule that people report on now is that if you are a chief petitioner and you have, after the measure has been filed, changed over to become a political committee because you are supporting or opposing a measure, you would have to file these additional supplements within the 15 days before the election. So those are really the only people. The three additional supplements.
Basically, there's, if I may, and correct me, Ted, if I'm wrong, Madam Chair or Senator Atkinson, there's basically three more reporting periods. The information I receive from groups that deal with these things is that we're not worried, and you don't need to worry too much, you know, 2 months before the election. But like you're implying, the month of the election, the last month of the election, the goal where it really counts, timely information for candidates really are important. We have three additional reporting periods. I think it's 7 days before, 10 days before, and 15 days before, basically weekly, so candidates can track, you know, what independent expenditures are being made. So that's they'll have three more reports that they'll have to do in that month of October.
Senator Atkinson.
What other groups did you consult to draft these? You said big.
We talked with the Educational Association. We talked with AFL-CIO. We talked with Public Employees Union. Those are three big ones.
Madam Chair, I don't really have a question. I guess I'm trying to figure out. Senator Schrader, you referenced in 96 when we had campaign contribution against independent expenditure of the ballot. But I guess I'm trying to get what the problem is today because we don't have campaign contributions. I know that originally this bill was set to go along with SJR something.
Great.
Which would have imposed campaign contribution limits again or allowed the legislature to set on campaign contribution limits. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, under the current laws, the problem is we're trying to fix. I guess, in my experience in the last, with the exception of when you and I first came into the legislature in 96, that hasn't been an issue.
Madam Chair, Senator Beyer, I guess I just would like to be a little proactive. I see the cost of campaigns continuing to escalate. I would have preferred to have SJR 3 also. But as I see things get more and more expensive, I in my most recent campaign, my primary campaign, had an interesting development where certain candidates didn't want to be associated with certain activities or certain campaign literature. So there was an attempt to establish some independent expenditures that I was probably not portrayed in the most favorable of lights with. So I had a direct experience with why this is sort of important right here, right now, and would like to help make sure there's full disclosure early on so candidates like myself and others can react.
Senator Atkinson?
I understand. I completely understand where you're going. I'm just having a little bit of heartburn about how it's going to work, because it seems to me that if the last reporting date is 7 days out, you still have an incentive to pour from day six to day zero, pour a ton of cash in, ton of independent expenditures, which happen already,
And there's really nothing that anybody can do about it. There's no fair play. There's no fair reporting. There's no running to the editorial boards and saying, see, look, they're doing it to me, because nobody gives a rip. And I say nobody gives a rip, meaning editorial boards and special interests. I mean, I don't know what's... I mean, having been, you know, I've been hit with these crazy things, too. I mean, but... If the three big people who you, or big groups that you've listed off, are okay with it, that sends up a red flag about what about some smaller groups that do IEs who aren't that well funded, who aren't that well organized, who maybe only are in for one cycle at a time, and maybe they're gone for one. I'm just trying to think it all the way through here, and I don't know if we fixed anything.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Atkinson, I share some of your philosophical concerns. I'm a big one on the initiative process. I have been a proponent of not trying to make it more complicated for the little guys, and recent votes on the floor, I think, bear that out. But what I am interested in is a little truth in advertising here. I don't think that it's that onerous. Frankly, we would like these amendments, because I had a 24-hour reporting period before for any expenditure. This doesn't do that. I would say, in answer to your question about what about that last week, it's been my experience in the campaigns that pretty much is mail coming out every day regardless. And so I'm not as worried, to be frank with you. I think there's going to be enough for the individual candidate to be getting his or her message out that last week. What I'm a little worried about is the week or two or three before that, when the candidates are trying to figure out how to address, you know, their constituents or their potential constituency. And that's when you need to have the opportunity to get that immediate feedback. If by 7 days prior to the election a hit piece comes out by some other group that misstates Kurt Schrader's position on business or labor, I can get at least one piece out to address that. That's all I need. That's all I need. Plus all the pieces I have coming out that last week, I think I'm well cared for. This is just an attempt to try and close what I see as a big, huge loophole, one that, as Senator Beyer pointed out, isn't so badly used right now, but in my last campaign, it looked like it was starting to rear its head again as these campaigns have gotten so expensive. So short of going ahead with more onerous campaign limits, I'm trying to come up with a way to make sure that the candidate's message is his or her own.
Senator Beyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ted, what is the current law on these independent expenditures? I mean, when you, if a group wants to do a hit piece on Roger Beyer or a pro piece, either one, on Roger Beyer, what are the limits now? Or what are the reporting requirements under current law?
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, legally, of course, it said you cannot limit the amount that somebody can spend on an independent expenditure or in any way prohibit them from doing that, because that's political speech. But they have said that you can require reporting of independent expenditures, and Oregon law currently does have that in 260.044. The only difference between the current law and some of the provisions of this is that there's accelerated timelines for reporting in this language as opposed to the existing law. Current law, if you make an independent expenditure, you are required to report it. And the courts have said that that's okay. The timelines are the same as the timelines that you as candidates have to file. It begins about 36 days before the general election. If you make an independent expenditure within any of those reporting periods that you as candidates file under, you have to file a report, a statement of independent expenditures during the period that you make the expenditure. So they come in on the same schedule as you file under, obviously not within 24 hours after you've made the expenditure.
Madam Chair, this bill no longer has the 24 hours, is that correct?
That's correct.
One more. In the last week of the election, the timeline that Senator Atkinson referred to, if you spend a certain amount of dollars as an independent expenditure, aren't you required to report that as a supplemental report, so within 72 hours or something like that currently?
Madam Chair, Senator Beyer, under the existing law, there are requirements for supplemental statements to be filed not later than the ninth day and not later than the fourth day if you spent over $500 during that period. Yes, so there are some supplemental requirements depending on the amount of money involved. So
So it's just so I'm clear. So if I want to spend more than $500 to do some sort of a political advocacy for a candidate, Senator Burdick or some any other candidate, if I spend more than $500 within the seventh, from the ninth to the fourth day, I have to report that to them by the fourth day under current law. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Byron, yes, that's correct.
Sir, I could second.
Okay, we need a bill.
Thank you for the conversation over the last 6 days. I think it's still going to be slash and burn, which I don't like. I still think people are going to try to buy elections, which I don't like. And I think philosophically we're on the same page. Help me understand how this would work. This is my last little flag. There's an initiative out there that is going to ban Christmas trees from being grown in the state of Oregon. A citizens group gets together and creates Christmas Trees for Oregon. Now they have Christmas Trees for Oregon PAC. And they raise money and they report how much money that they've raised. They buy radio ads. Citizen Roger Beyer voices those radio ads. Citizen Roger Beyer is also running for re-election. Who reports that?
Well, as a part of his own campaign, I don't know, I have to defer to Ted on that, as his own, if he's underwriting, it depends on who's, if he's not, underwriting with his own money, then...
It's not his own money. It's just, they said, hey, we've got a spokesman, you might be able to have some benefit.
Well, then he would, that the PAC would have to, that's putting that ad out, would have to report then in this new timeline.
Okay. I think unless there are any further questions.
I'm trying to figure out. So we, under this bill, you've got 15, 10, and 7 days. And then you still got that 4-day requirement for stuff over $500 in this current law. But without this bill, what is that timeline for reports again? I mean, I know you've got the first one that usually comes about the middle of September. Somewhere in that late September, you've got one 10 days later and one 7 days later, something like that. Isn't that about right?
Madam Chair, Senator Bauer, yes. The second one is due not later than the 12th day before the date of the election. Then you have the supplements, which can come in between the 15th day and the date of the election, and then you have a report 20 days after the election.
And the idea here was to increase the frequency of reporting, to be very frank with you. Yes, there are other reports, but the goal was to add 3 more dates to make sure that everything was disclosed in as timely a manner as possible as that election drew down to a close. I've got to go, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I'd like to apologize to you, Senator, for asking you difficult hypotheticals.
No, those are good questions, Senator Atkinson. I enjoy those. And
I think some individual conversations would be helpful. I think the committee is going to need some more time to take a look at this, and probably giving your experiences in more detail might be a bit more helpful.
Didn't realize that he's red shirt here.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you. Thanks, Ted. Is there anybody in the audience wishing to testify, knowing that this bill might be coming back from the committee? Seeing no volunteers, with that, we're going to close the public hearing on and work session on Senate Bill 379. And is there any further business? Senator Atkinson, do you have anything further for us to consider today? Thank you. With that, happy rejection of my offer. We are going to be adjourned.